This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good evening, Bahamas. This is the show Nailed It, and my name is Debbie Deal. Leonard Sands is supposed to be joining me this evening, but right now I am flying solo. So here we are at the end of the year. Do you believe it? Do you believe that Christmas is like, what, less than, it's a week away? It's hard to imagine that the year has gone by so fast. I don't know if it's when you get older that the days and the months and the years go faster, or if it's everybody. I really don't know. But this year has just absolutely flown by for me. So as everybody knows, this is the Bahamian Contractors Association show, and we are just the guest hosts of this show. And, you know, as we get to the end of this year, one of the things that I really think a lot about is the people, the businesses that have had so much support for us as an association, that anything that we do, they're there to support us. They're there to give us guidance. They're there to push us in the right direction. And I can't thank the persons who have supported us on through this show, Nailed It, through our Mix and Mingles, through our website, through, you know, everything that we've actually done. And I really, now that it's towards the end of the year, I really am so grateful and thankful for everybody and all the businesses that continue to support us and keep this thing going. It's been a really good year, I think, and being able to share everything that we know, whether it's good or bad, we like to share everything that we know, and we like to educate. That's one of our key things is education, and I'm sure you've all listened to that repeatedly over the last, wow, it's almost a year and a half now. We're almost, yeah, a year and a half. So it's one thing I would like to say is that being on this show is, you can't imagine how blessed you are when an opportunity comes that you don't expect. And the opportunity that is coming to you is actually helping others. That is something that you don't know how to really deal with it when it actually happens. So I'm just letting everybody know that I'm super grateful, and I'm sure Leonard is as well, that the opportunities that come to us, they seem like they're just for us, but really they're not. There's always another intention in the wind for that. So since I mentioned Mix and Mingles, we did have our final end-of-the-year celebration last week, Friday, at the Royal Blue Tavern, and we had a great turnout, and it was really, really, really fun. We had 127 persons in attendance, and it was great. We had tons of gifts to give away, and it was just so nice to see everybody and people that we haven't seen this year, actually, as well. It was really nice to actually have that happen. So I'm really grateful that we had that final end-of-the-year celebration. And we also have, our new, what would you call it, Bahamian Contractors Association buy and sell. We have it's kind of like a mama's market, and we have that on Facebook. So that's something that we're going to be absolutely pushing next year. So now that the day has actually started, or the night has actually started, sorry. One thing I saw in the newspaper today that I found a little bit odd, and I don't normally go into the news because that's, we get enough of that from other people, but there was a thing talking about the persons at Arawak Key have been notified by Bahamas Power and Light, I guess, or I don't know who's doing it. I don't know who, if it's Pike or whoever is doing it. Anyway, that there's going to be a lot of noise with the new LNG plant. Now, maybe I didn't read it correctly. I don't know if it's just during the construction of the LNG plant, but I have actually been to three LNG plants. Back in 2016, I was at CREF in Miami, and we were invited to go to Fortress's LNG plant, which is about maybe half a mile from Brickell, right in the heart of downtown Miami. Dead quiet, spotlessly clean. There was no noise, there was no mess, there was no anything. So I'm hoping that they're talking about that. I also went to Montego Bay to Jamaica and took with me, thanks to the Chamber of Commerce, I think it was Arawak Port that actually sponsored us to go for a day to see the plant there. And it's the same thing. It's right in the harbor at Montego Bay, quiet, clean, no noise whatsoever. And then the last one I went to was Barbados. I was in Barbados for ISO training, and we had lunch. Rather than staying for lunch, I took a taxi and went to the LNG plant there to see Mr. Robertson. And again, same thing, totally quiet and totally clean. So I'm hoping that I didn't read the whole article and that it's only going to be the construction that's going to be a problem. It's not going to have anything to do with the after, once everything is completed. So now that we are looking at 2026, we have a lot of things that we would like to actually do this year coming up. And one of them actually looks like it started. We had met with, Director Russell from Ministry of Education. The end of August, early September. And we had met because we were really wanting to do some vocational skills courses in the high school so that when kids leave high school, whether it be because they've turned 16 or they've graduated, either one, that they have a skill, that they actually have a trade that they could actually walk into rather than having them leave high school and then have to go and find another school to go to for a trade. Once you're tired of school, you're tired of school. So we went. It was a very successful meeting, and they reached out to us again, and there was a meeting yesterday. I was not able to attend, but the meeting was very successful, and they are going to do an MOU with us. They're going to send us a soft one for us to go over, and that's something that we will be working on next year. So this is, they talk about the fact that, there's not enough persons who working in the industry, the construction industry. We don't have enough persons in the field. We don't have enough masons and helpers and carpenters and electricians and plumbers and AC persons, that kind of thing. So this is something that we thought, you know, we should maybe work along with Ministry of Education on trying to get this happening so that kids could actually, you know, be able to leave high school with something. Like I've said before on the show many times, I am not an academic. I am dexterous. I am the kind of person that can do anything with my hands. But as for, you know, science, math, English, all that stuff, not so much. And I was just lucky enough to go to a school that had a bunch of vocational courses. I took carpentry and I took agriculture. And it kind of saved me, you know. It was something that I could look forward to. And here I am now, a contractor, you know. So I guess the carpentry paid off. But these are things that you may not think about. And then once all of a sudden when you realize that there's these opportunities that we can actually give kids, this is the actual opportunity that we have, and we're going to run with it. Another thing that we did from our mix and mingle, by the way, is we decided before the event even happened that we wanted to donate funds to two, I don't know what you'd call them, two charities. So we chose the Rand Fairley Home and we chose the Cancer Society. And yesterday it was two days ago that they met with Miss Russell. But yesterday we had a photo shoot with both the Cancer Society and the Rand Fairley Home. And what I found just heartwarming was the lady who came from the Rand Fairley Home to pick up the check was actually a resident of Rand Fairley Home. I thought that was, I mean, there was a name that she gave herself, but I can't remember what the name was, and it had to do with the fact that she had been there before. And it was just so nice to actually see this person who was there and has been able to, you know, take what she was given and made a really good life for herself. So that was amazing. And it was really good to be able to give out to these charities. Cancer Society are doing an extension to their building. I don't think our donation is going to help much with that because it's quite a large extension that they're doing. But for me, the Cancer Society is kind of a personal thing. My dad died of cancer and my mother had breast cancer 3 times. So for me, it was one of the reasons that I wanted to see if we could donate to that. So with 2026 coming along, there's a lot of things that we really still want to do. We really need to push, and we need the rest of you out there, the ones who call in, the ones who call us after the show is over. We really need you, and there's an election coming up, so for gosh sakes, we really need you all to reach out to your member of parliament, to send letters. If you send a letter, they actually have to answer it, so it's better than just sending a WhatsApp, that kind of thing. We really need to make sure that now that the act is passed, that the funds are actually in the budget till June, the $50,000, which is the stipend that would actually help once the board is chosen and the board has to have an office. The funds are already there. We really need to make sure that this year, before June, that the actual board is chosen so that we can actually start registering and licensing contractors. There's too many stories out there of persons that are still having difficulties with a job that started, that never finished properly, or a contractor that never got paid. I mean, there's so many things. And if you were to read the actual Contractors Act 2016, it's about 40-something pages, but most of those pages are definitions. It really does. It's a good tool. It's something that we need. It will protect the client as well as the contractor. And it will actually ensure that the work that is being done is being done properly, because there will be inspections. There will be persons out there who will be watching, and there will be a board where people who have done something that somebody's not happy with, they're able to report it. They're able to send somebody out from that to inspect it and see what's going on and see what we can actually do to correct the issue. Right now, there isn't anything, like we've said before. It's just the wild, wild, wild west, and it's getting wilder and wilder. So we're hoping that this would get passed before the election, but, you know, anytime it gets done is fine with us. But we really need your help. We can't do it on our own. And, you know, somebody said to Leonard a while ago, well, the only people that seem to be complaining about it is Leonard and Debbie. Well, okay, so Leonard and Debbie are the voice for the contractors in this country. We are the voice for all of you, whether you are a member of our association or not. And if there's 12,000 contractors, as an example, round figure, if there's that many persons out there that are contractors, we are the voice for all of you. We don't pick and choose. It's not just, you know, we only are going to, you know, fight for our members. No, we are fighting for the actual industry. And again, Robin, one of our board members, has been on the board for 20 years, so this has been a long fight for her. Leonard, of course, has been on the board for a number of years. And again, the two of them were persons that actually helped to actually write the document to make sure that it worked for them, along with Prime Minister Davis when he was the Minister of Works, and Craig DeLancey and a few other people. They were actually instrumental on making sure that this thing got done and done correctly. I can't imagine getting to that point, getting this far, and then just stopping. It does not make any sense. When you consider that construction is everywhere, well, everybody's going to see plenty of it with Christmas shopping. I was at a plaza today. I forgot how close Christmas was. I don't know why I even went out of the house, but I did. And it was virtually impossible to find a parking space. So you're going to be going in plenty of stores. You're going to be going to gas stations. You're going to be maybe visiting a clinic. You might be visiting family members that are in a hospital. You're going to be going to every single building that was built by Bahamians. And this is something that is crucial. We can't just say, well, it's really not that important. You know, we've gone this far without being licensed. Yes, but it's been a fight for the last, 60, 70 years? I mean, do we really have to fight for everything for that long? And especially as something as important as construction. You know, you want to make sure that when somebody is building something that, let's say they're dealing with concrete, you want to make sure that that person knows and understands that if it's 3,000 PSI, it's 3,000 PSI, that you cannot be adding water to that mix, because that 3,000 PSI could end up being 500 PSI and have no strength to it whatsoever. And then you have let's say you're pouring a second floor, or even you're pouring the regular first floor, the ground floor, and you wonder why it's cracking. You wonder why it's falling apart. It's, you know, there's so many things that can go wrong. And you know what? We can't be the watchdog for absolutely everyone and everything, but we can actually be the ones that actually set in place methods, rules, regulations, fines, even going to jail. I mean, there has to be rules set in place so that persons who are going to the bank and getting funding to build a house or to build a business or to buy an island and build a resort, that these persons deserve and get what they should properly get. They should not get something that is done higgly-piggly. That I was speaking with somebody today in a store, actually, and I was saying, oh, well, half-inch sheetrock is for ceilings and 5/8 is for walls. And he says, well, you know, if I have a block building and I have studs on the wall and I put on sheetrock, no one's going to know whether it's 5/8 or half an inch. And he said, I got to put something back in my pocket. And I said, well, that's really reassuring. That makes me feel better about you right now. That you've even admitted that whether it's right or wrong, you're going to do it anyways because nobody is going to know. That to me is kind of a big example of the things that actually do happen, can happen, and should not be happening. And like I said, we have a membership of, I think, a couple hundred persons in the Bahamian Contractors Association. We have 10 persons on the board. There's only so much fight we have in us. There's only so many places that we can go, and there's only so many people that we can actually meet. We would so appreciate if anybody out there would do us a favor, not us, do the country a favor, and reach out to anybody that you could possibly know that could actually assist with this. There has to be some kind of a campaign that could be done where, you know, this is so important that we really need to make sure that it gets done. You know, we need to make sure that the buildings that the government are building, that our schools, ministries, that everything that they are in are built properly and that they're safe. You know, you hear horror stories of places in other countries where, you know, buildings have collapsed because the concrete wasn't the right strength, where it wasn't done properly, where the joists that were put in were not secured properly. There's all kinds of things that you hear. Why should we have to have that here when we are a tiny country? Yes, we are an archipelago. We're spread out, but we have, what, anywhere from 350 to 400,000 people, and we can't get a group of us together, enough of us together, to make the Prime Minister sign off on this document and have Cabinet sign off on this and actually, that's already signed off on. I apologize for that. But to choose the persons that could go on the board, you know, like maybe the head of the Electrical Association, the person, the plumber who actually, MacArthur Fernander, who actually teaches plumbing as well as licenses plumbers, wouldn't he be a good person to put on this board? I mean, there's so many persons that could go on this board that would be beneficial, that would also be a part of the training process and a part of the educational process. And we just need you guys to do it. Do it. That's all you have to do is form the board, and we could actually move forward with this. Well, I think Leonard has deserted me. I have the producer out there that I might invite in a few minutes to have a conversation with me because it's getting a little lonesome here. Anyway, we're going to go to a short break and we'll be right back.
Know about the big yellow machines. You've probably heard about our big yellow engines, maybe even seen our reliable yellow generator sets light up your world. But if that's all you know about machinery and energy limited, then you're missing out. We are yellow iron and so much more. We are multiple product lines, construction equipment, forklifts, marine engines, aerial equipment, and light towers. We are parts, service, equipment sales, and rentals. Visit one of our branches in Nassau, Freeport, or Abaco for your construction and power generation needs, because we're built for it.
Imagine holding the keys to your first home, not someday, today. At Family Guardian, your dream is closer than you think. With competitive interest rates as little as 5% down for first-time buyers and construction loans for house and lot packages, your future begins now. Don't wait. With fast approvals and lot loans up to 15 years, your opportunity won't last forever. Call 396-4040 in Nassau or 688-1500 in Freeport. Family Guardian is where your home journey begins.
Paint Supplier's Christmas sale is here. Save 20% off storewide on your favorite brands. PPG Paint, DeVoe Paint, Minwax, and Zinsser, along with all the tools you will need too. Transform your home this Christmas with the color of your dreams. Can't decide? Paint Supplier's is the most experienced in the business. Let us help you choose a color that you will absolutely adore. Visit us in the Jolly Roger building on Shirley Street. Paint Supplier's, always working for you.
When we started Storm Frame Windows in 1999, we wanted to fabricate an impact-rated product to compete with the Florida market, and we've done this. There's no fabricator or vendor from Florida that can do what we can in the Bahamas. Because we fabricate locally and we're a local-based company, we have the capability to provide better customer service than our competitors. With all the worldwide supply chain issues, we at StormFrame have improved our fabrication process and have invested in stock to be able to produce our orders in 4 weeks. We also keep in stock over 400 windows and doors at standard sizes for walk-in customers to purchase. Our professional sales staff is here to assist you with the complete purchase and installation. We also service and ship to the Outer Islands.
Thank you for your support, Bahamas!
Thank you for your support, Bahamas.
When you're building renovation projects, our goal, go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store. Find unbeatable prices, unmatched service, and an expanded selection of building essentials. Drywall and plywood, tools and thinset, insulation and hardware too. It's all at CBS Pro Store. Contractors, do-it-yourselfers, and industry professionals in the know can now go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store, 103 Robinson Road.
Since independence, the Bahamas Development Bank has been mandated to expand our nation's economy. We invest in Bahamian companies, from Grand Bahama to Inagua. Our clients come from all sectors of local industry, from manufacturing to agriculture to the creative industries to the mailboat that brings it all to you. We are always looking for the next great opportunity to invest in creativity, innovation, and sustainability. Visit our website today to apply.
This is Erin Green, wishing you and your family happiness, peace, and mangoes this holiday season and throughout the new year from Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.
Well, I am back, and what I would like to do at this point in time is read off the telephone lines so that if you want to call, you can. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, 422-4796 is our text line. It's powered by BTC. And from Family Islands, it's 242-300, I think it's 5720. If it's not a 5, it's a 3. Sorry, I don't have my seeing eye dog with me. So if you'd like to call, please feel free to call. I also would like to read off some sponsors of the show that we have, the ones that are sponsoring for the month of December. We have ART Development, MST Bars. That's the fiberglass rebar. We have Bahamas Safety Solutions. We have Family Guardian, Sherwin-Williams, and Paint Suppliers. So what we're going to talk about in the next few minutes, because we only have about maybe 20 minutes left in the show, we're going to talk about it's a new year, and it's going to be a new house. And the producer was the one who said, do you remember when you did that show and you did this, this, and this, and this, and this was really an interesting show. So this is what we're going to talk about. Because January the 1st is like a week and a half away, less than that. And it's a brand new year. So first of all, new year, new house. Obviously, we all know that you have to find some property. You have to go to the bank. You have to get some mortgage financing. You have to get a plan drawn. You have to know how much you qualify for. That's one of the things that I think is the trickiest part, because we all have our dreams as to what our house looks like, you know, especially nowadays where you have all of these home shows that you can watch, and you can actually see people building their houses or renovating their houses. And back in the day when we were building it, yeah, no, not so much. It was magazines. But now you can actually see these shows. So you have an idea of what you want. Truthfully, though, the first thing you should do is go to a bank and find out what you qualify for. It does not make any sense at all to say, well, I see this plan in this book, and it's going to cost me $250,000 to build, because that's what somebody told me it's going to cost, and then the property is going to cost me $100,000, and then I have, you know, other things that I have to pay. And then you go to the bank, and the bank says, well, we could lend you $150,000. So you're setting yourself up for failure. And why would anybody want to set themselves up for failure? The best thing to do is actually go to the bank, speak with them. They're going to ask you a bunch of questions. You know, what bills do you have? Do you have any loans? Do you have any other mortgages? School fees. I mean, they'll go through the whole list of everything that you have and what incomes you have coming in between yourself and maybe a spouse or a relative that you're going to go into the project with, and find out exactly what you qualify for. Once you find out exactly how much money the bank is willing to lend you, then you can decide, so what am I going to do? Should I find the property and buy the property, and with any money left over, keep that money and find a plan of a house that I could possibly build and what I could possibly build and build up to belt course out of my pocket, get a contractor who would actually give you a costing as to how much it would cost you to get that building up to belt course. And if that's doable with the amount of money that you have left over, then you could actually go back to the bank and ask them for more financing, because you now have equity. You have property and you have a structure. My daughter actually did that. She wanted to build her own house, and we were looking for property, and we couldn't find anything east. We were on our way west, and somebody called just as a fluke, and somebody we knew, and said, oh, by the way, my, I guess it would be his stepson's house or his stepson's property. They wanted to sell a piece of the property, and it was tiny, but she bought it. And she was able to buy the property with the funds that she had from work, because she'd been saving money. And from there, she was also able to build her house up to belt course. And from there, she took everything to the bank and was able to qualify for a loan to actually complete the construction of the house. So there's ways of doing it. But the first thing you shouldn't do is sabotage yourself. And sabotaging yourself, like I said, is where you are dreaming that you want to do something, but rather than finding out exactly a path that you can actually do that in, because there's many ways to do things. You could even get somebody else who wants to build the house with you and share the house with you, and you could finance that. But don't self-sabotage yourself by saying, okay, well, this is great, I'm going to do this, this, and this, and this, and then all of a sudden you find out that somebody's going to just stick a pin in your balloon and it's going to burst and you got to start all over again. So do it properly from the very beginning. The next thing that you do is when you're looking at a plan, if you're, say you're young and you're not married yet, or you're a young married couple, you don't have any children, Just using different examples, or you're a married couple, you have children, but you have parents that are getting older and, you know, they may have to come live with you at some point in time, or you've got kids off in university and they, when they finish university, they're going to come back and want to live with you until they're able to, you know, buy their own property and move into their own place or find their own apartment. Try to decide what you're going to do with the house. Are you going to build a house where you start off with building a two-bedroom, two-bath house, but you've had an architect draw it in a fashion where you can actually build that now, place it on the property so that you actually can actually build on the extension. So the architect could draw the plan for you, and it would be plan A, which is what you're going to start building, and plan B is what you will add on later on when you get the funding to do it. You can design a roof in a fashion so that you don't have to be tying in a roof to an existing roof. There's different ways of doing it. Try to figure out what you're going to do. Are you going to need an in-law suite? Do you have a mom or a dad that is going to need a place to actually, a room, I'm going to say a bedroom, a bathroom, and maybe a small kitchen, which most people that I know who build a house with a garage, everybody thinks they need a garage and a carport until they build it. And then you think, oh, crap, what did I do? The carport ends up becoming a family room and the garage ends up becoming an in-law suite or a place for your kids. So these are the kind of things. Think about what you're actually going to do with your house, how you are going to grow with the house or how the house will grow with you. Because we all have these dreams about, okay, well, this is what it's going to be, and this is what we're going to need. And then, you know, once you move into the house, you realize, geez, we don't have enough storage. Oh, gosh, we're pregnant? Ah, okay. So now we, you know, there's so many different scenarios that happen. But try to make sure that when you're designing it, you're not just doing something that is emotional, as in, I want to build this big 3,500 square foot house because I've always dreamt of building this house. Do it in a logical way so, again, you're not disappointed. You don't want to get to the point where you start. We've all driven by 1,000 of them here in Nassau. You drive by a house that's started, they got it up to built course. 10 years later, you're driving by and there's a tree growing in the center of the house. There's bush all over. The steel is all rusted. The block work is starting to fall down. You know, don't self-sabotage yourself. For God's sakes, I want everybody listening, I want you to do a New Year's resolution that whatever I do this year, whether it's building a house, buying property, whether it's doing it, having a job, whether I'm doing sports, whatever I'm doing, I am not going to self-sabotage myself. I am going to plan this out properly. Whatever I do in my life, even if it's just having a birthday party for a friend, plan out things properly so that you actually are, like I said, not sabotaging yourself, not being disappointed. If you do it the proper way, the experience that you have in building the home and buying the property is going to be so much more pleasurable. Because at the end of the day, you're going to have what you want without all the pressure of doing it the wrong way and getting to a point where you're going to have to try to borrow money from somebody else to finish doing what you got to do, but you already have the first loan. You don't want to do any of that stuff. So planning properly is the key to having a successful job. Then the next thing that's success that is good is to don't just choose anybody to build your home or your business. Investigate. And don't just say to somebody when they come to you, say, well, yes, I'm going to drive you past four or five houses that I've done or whatever. They could drive you past anybody's house because you don't know. Unless you're going to knock on the door and say, hey, can I come in and see the house that this person built? If that's the situation, fine. But if it's just a matter of somebody saying, these are some pictures of some houses that I've done, I could do that too. Anybody could do that. But make sure that they really have done it, see if you could actually go inside and make sure that things are the way they should be or the way you would imagine they should be. Ask for other references from other people that you could go and see. It's, you're spending probably the most amount of money that you'll spend on anything ever in your life. And you want to make sure that the person who is going to be partnering with you on that journey is going to have as much care about that journey and about that building as you are. And they're going to be as concerned as you are at making sure that the process is done properly, is done to code, is financially solvent. You want to make sure that the job actually is finished, that the contractor will actually finish the job. There's all of these things that you have to look at. You want to make sure that, again, there's no sense in just saying, well, my brother's wife's first cousin's friend is a contractor. Well, that's great. I'm not saying that that's not the way to do it, but I'm just saying, don't just pick somebody. And don't do, a lot of times when you go to bid on a project as a contractor, they choose the lowest bid. And I found out from bidding on many government projects that they always chose the lowest bid, and the person who got the job with the lowest bid, in most instances, never finished the job because they quoted too low. If there was another person in Grand Bahama, we would quote basically on the same kind of stuff. So if I quote 5 million and he quotes 5 million and somebody else quotes 2 million, is there really a chance that that's going to happen? Is it really a chance when the two of us don't even really know each other well enough to actually sit down with our quotes and say, well, this is okay, well, you came up with 5 million, I came up with 5 million, and the other guy comes up with 2? I mean, do you really think that's going to happen? But you will find persons who will come with a very appealing financial quote for you that will work for you until the house actually starts. And then you get to a point where, okay, the house has started. What happened to my contractor? Why hasn't he been on the site for the last 3 weeks? Why hasn't he done this? Why hasn't he done that? Well, one of the main reasons that somebody doesn't come back to the site is because, you know, they got a draw payment, but the draw payment really didn't pay enough to pay everybody. And then the guys don't come to work. They just say, well, if you're not going to pay me, I'm not going to show up. I'm just telling you scenarios that have happened. You don't want to have to, you don't want to get yourself in a situation like that. You want to make sure that whoever you hire is actually going to be able to finish that job. And again, even if somebody from a bank recommends people to you, they may be on their list, but you make sure that you check them for yourself. Don't just rely on what the bank person has said. Because again, you don't know where the bank persons are getting these people from. You don't know if it's a family member. You don't know if it's somebody that built their house. And you know what? You don't know how circumstances change. You know, you have a person who's a contractor and they've been doing really, really well, and then all of a sudden they have a crisis in their life. They may have a spouse that is sick. They may actually get divorced. There's a thousand things in life that can happen. You never know what is going to happen in somebody's life. So somebody that was did a great job years ago may not be in that same situation. And it has nothing, oftentimes it has nothing to do with them and their work. It just comes down to finances. And you need to make sure that whenever you're doing anything like this, please make sure that you're looking out for everything. Also, one thing that a lot of people don't look out for is when they're building, is they don't think about the utilities that you actually have to pay for to be able to move into a house. Like if you are in an area where it's underground, I know when my daughter was moving into her house and there was about a 20-foot trench from her meter box to where the power was coming from, but the cable was $6,000. If you don't have that kind of money get budgeted, where is that money going to come from? And that's the last thing that you want to have to find money for, is that, because the first thing that you're going to need is power in your house before you could even think of moving into the house. And even if there's other work that still needs to be done, you might have somebody coming in to do extra cabinets or build out the garage or do something after you're finished, but you're going to need power. So consider the fact that when you move in, you're going to have pay your BPL and your water and sewage and cable, and you're also going to have your mortgage that you're going to have to pay. So you really need to sit down with somebody who, you might have a friend who's a chartered accountant or something who could actually sit down with you and work out a budget to make sure that everything that you're doing is actually going to work for you, so that you're not going to end up missing payments on this or missing payments on that, or forgetting about certain things that you hadn't even thought about. The fact that you're going to have to pay, taxes on your house, that you're going to have to pay maintenance. You're going to have somebody come. If you're working, you may not be able to have time to come mow your own grass or plant your own grass or something like that. You may end up having to hire somebody to do that. Everything costs money. So really be very, very careful on what you do to make sure that it's an enjoyable moment in time in your life, and not something that, 20 years later you're going, oh my God, do you remember when? Oh, that was a nightmare. It doesn't have to be a nightmare. You really have to plan it properly and start from the very beginning, actually, by going to the bank, first of all. Find out what you qualify for. That's the main thing. And then again, choosing a plan that you can grow with if you want to grow with, or choosing a plan that you can afford to build all in one, or having a plan, like I said before, where you have the plan drawn in sections A, B, and C or whatever, and you can actually do A first, and you could easily add on B, and then you could easily add on C. It makes your life a lot easier, and you have something to look forward to. Because at the end of the day, you're thinking, okay, well, we've moved in now, and we're settled, and we've got furniture, and everything's working out fine. So now, what about the family room? What do you think about doing the family room like we wanted to do? Okay, so that would be the next thing. So it's something for you to look forward to. You can do your dreaming. You can dream as to exactly what size TV are we going to have? What else are we going to put in the family room besides a television? Are we going to have, a pool table? What are we going to do? Are we going to have a nice big patio off the back because we like to entertain our friends and we have our family over? Like, it's Christmas. So I don't know about you, but for me, we go to my younger daughter's house first because she's the one with the children. They're not little kids anymore, but they were the ones that were all excited and up at 4 o'clock in the morning to wake you up and say, where are my gifts, right? Oh, look who came to the show.
Oh, gosh. I can't believe it. It's been one of those Christmas is coming days.
Yes.
And so I apologize. I'm just getting into the studio, but I want to close out this year right, so I couldn't miss.
Okay.
I had to turn around from where I was. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm here. Wow, the year in review, BCA, mm-hmm. We've had a fantastic year.
Yeah.
But in the fantasticness of the year, one of the things that we're still very disappointed about is the fact that the Construction Contractors Board has not yet been appointed. We've reached out many, many, many times to the Office of the Prime Minister, directly to the Prime Minister, spoken with him after he made the commitment on several other occasions where we met briefly. Mm-hmm. And so he is aware. He knows what the needs of the industry is in respect to it being licensed. And what I'd intended to do today, and I didn't tell you. I was going to read the last three complaints I got this week.
Wow.
Two from expats.
Wow.
Not citizens of the Bahamas. And they wrote 5-6 pages long laments of unlicensed individuals doing God knows what to them. Mm-hmm. And they expressed such disappointment that on the surface of this wonderful, beautiful country, mm-hmm. the chaos that exists in construction. And they lamented, and it's like, how is this happening? How is this existing? I come from Europe, and we have this is all organized. And the other lady, she came from the United States, and we have this all. Well, how is this country, mm-hmm. a developing nation, that we boast every day, we're so proud to be Bahamian, we're so proud of all the advancement. Look at us. Mm-hmm. How y'all got people just deciding I want to be a contractor, don't know a lick about constructing, coming to meet people like us, we don't know any different, and totally messing up our lives, totally messing up our money.
Because,
and that's,
you know,
not
what?
A big deal to you.
We advertise sun, sea, and sand, and we advertise that. And that's what everybody thinks, right? And I just finished talking about all of these things that can happen. It's terrible. It is absolutely a shame. And I said to everybody out there listening, please help us write your member of parliament, right? There's an election coming. For God's sakes, help us.
It has to be, Debbie. We
have
to
be.
We have to find a way to get the elected officials know that their failure to do something that we've been trying to clean up is a representation of the entire country.
Mm-hmm.
It is a representation of them.
It is.
You know, I stay on Facebook a lot of time, right? And there's this ongoing discussion about every little thing what happens in politics. This person gets offended, and we're doing the best we can, and this minister has something to say, and this other one that pops up their chest, and we've done this, and we've done that. Well, let me tell you, for the construction community,
mm-hmm.
you have done nothing.
Correct.
I stand on the shoulders of Steve Rinkle. You've done nothing in the time he's president. I stand on the shoulders of Robbie Myers. You've done nothing at the time. I stand on the shoulders of
Michael
Pratt. You've done nothing when he was the president. I stand on the shoulders of Godfrey Forbes. You've done nothing. I go back further. Who am I going to stand on the shoulders of? What for? Godfrey from Cavalier.
Mm-hmm.
All these guys, 50 plus years, 60 years. Nothing. So do not come and insult us by telling us how much you think you care about the construction industry, because you have done nothing for us in almost 60 years. Call you live. Go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon to both of you, or good evening to both of you, Sir Alan Johnson. Hi. I just wanted to say that I do support your advocacy, and I think I'm going to join you. You know, we've had a discussion concerning the need for home for these multiple thousands of homes to be built.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that if we don't fix the individuals who will supervise their build, we could be spending years just building thousands of homes that actually needs to be repaired or
correct.
Defective,
correct.
Et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And we see it all the time. And even with the subdivisions that are being built, and I try to be as kind as possible, but I observe things that I do question, and I wonder if they know down the road this may have issues, but it's not. You know, I recognize that our voices could only go so far
mm-hmm.
until the public joins it.
I think it's important. I do recognize. I'm going to join you. Here's why. Because I am, my wife and I are now in the fintech space for financing boat homes and bed and breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
There's an urgent need in the Bahamas cumulatively for very easily 50,000 homes. If you look at my wife in the newspaper a couple of days ago, where she spoke about the needs for Grand Bahama, more specifically when you talk about the need to develop the island,
mm-hmm.
the need for as much as 20,000 bed and breakfast, which brings it about 60,000 homes, to be exactly what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you begin to build on a defective process, we can spend decades just building on that process.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, like, even for the promise that is made by a leader of opposition to build 2,000 homes, it is important that if that is to happen, I am one that support the position for knowing the financing aspect of it, that it will happen, we have to fix, because we could have the money in place and everything in place, but if we don't fix the protectionism processes,
who's building it?
We'll be building
who's managing it?
And can you imagine building 2,000 homes in a flood zone? then what's going to happen is every single time we have a storm, then all of a sudden people are going to have to redo all the inside of their house again. It doesn't make any sense at all.
Let me just say this. What's scary for me is that if you're having problems with contractors building with the current standard, when you revise the standard to build to accommodate the new standards what may or may not be developed, that will be the required and developed, then you would now create even, you would augment the situation, because if they did not have the previous skill,
they certainly won't have the new skill.
Right, but it's not a new standard that we're advocating. It's the building code. It's the same standard. It's the same standard of construction. It's the quality of the persons who are doing the construction.
Which like the caller is saying, if they have difficulties in it now, what the point that he made, it is currently under the review to hopefully do some more things. It may tweak a bit, and it's only going to tweak because the code is good in itself.
But Saz, we're talking about a guy now that it has functionally incapable of building two at a time.
I agree.
And now wants to build 10.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. So he'll walk away after about the fourth house.
Debbie, and Science, I can reach out to both of you because I definitely know that on Grand Bahama, we will actually have to have some advocacy because this is going to be my primary focus in the short-term vacation rentals and in the housing funding aspect.
Yeah. Well, you have my email address, so please, Alan, just send me a note and then let's get together. And we hope to visit Grand Bahama sometime in 2026 to kind of help the organization of that association partnered with the
and
BCA.
Do an educational thing as well.
Do something there. Yeah. As well.
Okay. Absolutely. So I'll reach out to both of you right after your show.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much. Yeah. Bye.
Thank you for that call. You know, and that's just one of the things that we, of all the things we do, we're most passionate about trying to get licensing in place. And we've talked about it all year, and we talk about it now. And I speak strongly about it because we know that it's beyond us. We want the industry to have professionals in it so the public benefits. It's not about us, really. We want the public to be. Mm-hmm. It's like, Debbie, I know you don't feel any kind of way walking into your doctor's office, your accountant's office. You know they're professional. They are held to a professional standard. Mm-hmm. It's not when you deal with a contractor, even in your space, a subcontractor. You don't know what standard of person you're going to get unless you get them to manage them to your standard.
Right.
We're saying if you set the professional standard in construction, everyone gets someone at the very minimum that standard.
Correct.
Is that so hard to ask?
No.
Is that the thing that frightens the leadership of this country that we're saying, can we have a professional standard for the construction industry, given the fact that our country spends hundreds of millions of dollars a year constructing things?
Yes. Constantly.
We're not going to stop it either.
And like I said during the show, that Christmas is here, so you're going to be going to churches. You're going to be going to every mall and every store in Nassau
built.
That people built. You're going to go get gas at the gas station.
That people built.
You might go visit somebody that's in the hospital that people built. You might be going to a clinic. You might be going to a play for your kids at school that we all built.
Yeah.
We're sitting in a building that we built.
Exactly. So give us some respect. Give the industry some respect. Finally allow the men and women who operate in this space to exist as professionals like all the other professionals who work hard, are skilled, are trained, and deliver the service that the public utilizes every single day.
Right, because you and I have heard stories of, let's say, a lawyer that wasn't doing their job properly and they get disbarred. Mm-hmm. We've heard stories of doctors who have done the same thing. They have lost their license or an architect. Mm-hmm. We've heard those stories. These are real stories that have happened, but they actually did that. It happened because they actually had the law in place.
Right. And hold the professional to a standard.
Yes, we have the law in place, but we don't have the board, which is what's necessary
to
for those
the
things.
Law.
Yes, yeah. Correct.
And the final thing I want to say in closing, as this has been an exciting year for the BCA, I want to say this. If you think everything is well and good now, or if you think the reverse, everything is terrible, my answer to the first part is that it could only get
better
with licensing.
Yeah.
If you think everything is terrible now, it could only get better with licensing.
Yes.
There's no loss on the conversation about licensing.
Absolutely none.
No loss at all.
Absolutely none.
Anyhow, Debbie.
Yep.
It's been a wonderful year.
It's been a great year.
2025. I'm very proud of the work that the entire executive board of the Bahamian Contractors Association
have done.
I'm very proud of our Guardian Radio for allowing us to come into the airwaves and come into the homes of many, many thousands of Bahamians and share our stories about construction, share our passion, and share the message that we're building a better Bahamas with the Bahamian Contractors Association. So if I don't say it, Debbie, you got to on the red on the shade, so you got to be Santa Claus to us today, and you got to give them a Merry Christmas.
Say? Here to slay.
And she's being a diva,
so
too.
So listen. My daughter was over to the state shopping last weekend, and my 9-year-old grandson was on the phone with her, and I choosing something for Grammy because Grammy wanted a Christmassy thing. And this is what he chose, so I wore it tonight.
Hair to slay.
Yes.
So on behalf of Debbie and behalf of Leonard from the Bahamian Contractors Association, we're going to wish everyone in the Commonwealth of Bahamas a very Merry Christmas and a happy,
happy
New Year.
And we'll see you back in 2026.
And there is a time to face stormy weather, but we are always standing strong, a lifetime together.
Tired of fixing those roof leaks over and over again? Paint Suppliers has the answer for you. Now you can fix it once and for all with Total Roof, a 100% silicone roof coating applied with just one coat. It will seal out all your roof leaks, is mildew resistant, easy to apply in just one coat, and makes your roof surface temperature up to 75 degrees cooler. It's guaranteed for 50 years and can be applied to virtually any roof. The amazing Total Roof, only at Paint Suppliers in the Jolly Roger building at number 130 Shirley Street. Total Roof, the last roof coating you'll ever need.
The years following independence, the Bahamas Development Bank has carried out our mandate of expanding and diversifying the nation's economy. We invest in Bahamian companies from Grand Bahama in the north to Inagua in the south. Our clients come from all sectors of domestic industry. We are proud to support local manufacturing, technology, agricultural projects, and creative works that draw from our native heritage. We will continue to finance inter-island transport from the mailboats of yesterday to the ships of the future. Let us power the possibilities of the new economy together. We are always looking for the next great opportunity to invest in creativity, innovation, and sustainability. Visit our website at www.bdb.gov.bs to complete your application today.
When your building renovation projects are go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store. Find unbeatable prices, unmatched service, and an expanded selection of building essentials. Drywall and plywood, tools and thinset, insulation and hardware too. It's all at CBS Pro Store. Contractors, do-it-yourselfers, and industry professionals in the know can now go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store, 103 Robinson Road.
Imagine holding the keys to your first home, not someday, today. At Family Guardian, your dream is closer than you think. With competitive interest rates as little as 5% down for first-time buyers and construction loans for house and lot packages, your future begins now. Don't wait. With fast approvals and lot loans up to 15 years, your opportunity won't last forever. Call 396-4040 in Nassau or 688-1500 in Freeport. Family Guardian is where your home journey begins.
You know about the big yellow machines. You've probably heard about our big yellow engines. Maybe even seen our reliable yellow generator sets light up your world. But if that's all you know about Machinery and Energy Limited, then you're missing out. We are yellow iron and so much more. We are multiple product lines, construction equipment, forklifts, marine engines, aerial equipment, and light towers. We are parts, service, equipment sales, and rentals. Visit one of our branches in Nassau, Freeport, or Abaco for your construction and power generation needs, because we're built for it.